So, have you ever met someone that did not want to get married?
Me, right here.
So, what are some reasons that people give for why they don't want to get married? Adelaide.
They don't want to have commitment.
They don't want to be committed? Yeah, okay, I've heard that one. Drew?
Because people suck.
Amen to that. Rachel?
Independence
and not having kids. Those are all very common reasons. Alex, I see you got one.
Settling down.
Okay, yeah. People don't want to like have to settle down, stop being fun, stop their adventure. Yeah. So what I'm hearing is there's a lot of people who like have a lot of reasons for not wanting to get married. So what does the church tend to tell people who don't want to get married? Like if you say that, what do they say?
Become a nun.
Become a nun. Interesting. Anything else? So personally, I have someone who's very dear to me who she did not want to get married for the very early portions of her life. From like up until I think senior year of high school, roundabouts there, she did not want to get married. She was not interested. And whenever she talked to people at church about it, they'd be like, don't worry, give it time, you'll want to get married. Right? But isn't that a pretty common answer? Just wait, you'll want to get married eventually. And much like the previous weeks, where we talked a lot about what people say versus what the Bible says, we're going to be talking today about another issue that the Bible talks about a little bit differently than the church, and that is singleness. So what does the Bible say about being single? What are the advantages of being single? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it something that you should actually strive for? And why should you be single, if you should? So that's actually going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're starting in verse 25. We're going to go through verse 35. And we're going to be talking about singleness. And I'm going to kind of spoil it a bit earlier. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this is a chapter that talks about why being single is better than being married. Which that's a little bit weird, right? To have a chapter in the Bible that seems to think and speak so highly of marriage, where almost everyone that you see is married, and when it talks about marriage, it talks about how good it is. Proverbs says that a person who's married inherits something good and obtains favor from the Lord. There's an entire chapter on how good a marriage can be in Proverbs 31. There are examples of good husbands throughout, you know, the Bible, and the Bible on the large speaks extremely highly of marriage, and yet there's a chapter called 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that speaks in depth about why being single is better. And that tends to make some people feel awkward. I know for me personally, it made me feel awkward. I grew up, I was one of those people who had the idea that like a reality of being Christian, like the only thing in life that matters is getting married, right? From the time I was in a junior higher, that was my one goal in life. I wanted to be a husband, I wanted to be a father, and like that was what I aimed at, and I thought that that was what a fulfilled Christian life was. Gotta have babies. And this chapter was hard for me, because to have an entire chapter that said that that's actually the wrong way to think, and I didn't know what to do with it. But I've learned since then, and today you're going to learn what the Bible says about being single. So one thing that I need to clarify before we continue, I'm going to need to clarify what Paul is not teaching. So Paul is not teaching that you shouldn't get married. Paul is not teaching that getting married is sinful. Paul speaks and thinks very highly of marriage throughout his epistles, including 1 Corinthians. But in 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3, this is something that he says about marriage, or specifically about false teachers. He says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teaching of demons." Goodness gracious, what could the teaching of demons be? That's interesting. "Through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." So what do false teachers teaching the teaching of demons who are dishonest with seared consciences teach? "Who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created." Would you like to know the kind of people that are going to tell you that getting married is sinful? Yeah. False teachers who are, as Paul says, teaching the teaching of demons. So with that in mind, do you think that Paul is saying that you would be sinning if you got married? It's going to be a fat no. So I just need to clarify that before we get into this passage. But anyone who says that getting married is sinful is a false teacher. Very easy to identify those. So moving on, I'm going to start in verse 27. And it says, Do I know how to read? There we go. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. But if you do marry, you have not sinned. Like I said, he's not teaching that marriage is sinful. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you of that. This is what I mean, brothers, that the appointed time has grown very short. From now on, let those who have wives live as though they did not have wives, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no goods, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how to please the Lord, but the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. So that is a pretty large section. We're going to dive into the specifics of it, but here's the first point. Marriage is harder. So between singleness and marriage is harder. And we've talked about that in Ephesians. We talked about the kind of commitment that a husband is supposed to have to a wife, the kind of commitment that a wife is supposed to have to a husband. And in just 1 Corinthians last week, we talked about more of those commitments. Being married is no small thing. You're chaining yourself to another person. And that's not something that you should be underestimating and undervaluing. Like singleness has with it the massive advantage of not being married. Now, how many Christians do you know who would represent marriage that way? That one of the largest advantages of being single is that you don't have to be married. How many Christians do you know that represent it that way? Not many. Especially not many that I know. And yet, that's exactly how Paul is talking about it. And first of all, in verses 27 and 28, Paul just specifies that it's not sinful to get married, but also he says it's really good to not get married. And a lot of times it's easy to look at people and just be like, don't worry, even if you don't want to get married yet, you will. And we can kind of view people that don't want to get married as like, man, what's wrong with you? And they think of singleness like a disease that needs to be cured, and that's not how Paul is thinking about it. And we shouldn't look at people in the church that aren't married and think of them as less than people that are. So that's the first thing that Paul specifies. But then he has this large section in verses 29 to 31 where he says all this stuff about, you know, if you have wives, live as though you don't. If you mourn, live as though you're not. If you rejoice, live as though you're not. And if you buy, live as though you don't. And like, that's kind of a weird section. Like, is Paul saying if you're married, just take off your ring, go to the bar, and act like a bachelor? Like, is that what Paul's saying? No, that's not what Paul is saying. So Paul says, because the time is short. And what Paul is saying is that you're supposed to have an eternal perspective. And we talked about this back in chapter 3, thinking beyond just this life. This life is very short, and we don't think of it that way because life is the longest thing that we experience, but life is very short. Even if you spend 80 years on the earth, you're going to spend a whole lot more than that not on the earth. And so living for your life on earth is foolish. And Paul is saying, he's not saying if you're married, act like you're not, blow off your wife, don't live out your commitment. He's not saying that. The same way he's not saying if you have a job, you need to quit it and you just need to like wait until you die and just not work. Right? Like that's ridiculous. But what he says in this verse is those who buy as though they had no goods. So even when you're doing business, you're supposed to be looking beyond that. In any human relationship, you're supposed to be looking beyond that. And if you're married, you need to understand that your primary responsibility is not to your wife. Your primary responsibility is still to God. So why is this in a section about singleness? Well, marriage is a distraction. If the only thing that you're supposed to be accomplishing in life is focusing on your relationship with God and focusing on living that out, being married to someone actually draws your attention away from that. And that's what he says in verses 32 and 33. He says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. But the married man is anxious about worldly things, how to please his wife. Because the thing that we need to remember is that in our life, it goes number one is God, Number two is your spouse. Number three is your kids. Number four is your occupation. As a list of priorities go, it goes God, spouse, kids, occupation. Doesn't matter who you are, that's the list of your priorities. God at the top, wife, kids, you. Yes?
If you're not married,
then wife and kids disappear. If you don't have a spouse to worry about, you don't have a spouse to worry about. If you don't have kids to worry about, you don't have kids to worry about. What's that?
What about your parents?
Your parents fall into the fourth category. So especially while you're a kid, like while you're a minor and you're a kid, your parents are extremely important. But like for me, my parents don't have the same authority over me that they do over you, that your parents have over you, right? When you get older and when you're an adult, that relationship isn't the same. And you're still supposed to honor your parents, but it's not like they're the kings of your and queens of your life, right? So when you're an adult, your relationships are different. Your primary relationship is God, then your spouse, then kids, then occupation, right? But like Rachel said, if you're not married, or sorry, that was Adelaide. Like Adelaide said, if you're not married, now you've got God, occupation. And that's simpler, right? So like think of it this way. Think about someone who's like traveling a bunch and they stay in a bunch of hotels. And this is a fairly pretty common like example. But if they stay in a bunch of hotels all the time, they're not going to like come into the hotel with a can of paint and then paint the walls a different color so it can be more homey and then buy a new television for the hotel room and buy a bunch of furniture for the hotel room so that they can design it just the way they want, right? If you were staying for a night in a hotel room, are you going to put that much effort into it? No, because it's temporary. And that's the exact same thing that happens with our lives. Paul says the time is short because our lives are short. And so why would you actively want to be engaging in distractions from that, right? So that's the first thing. If the first thing about marriage is that if you're married, things are harder. Your main goal in life is harder. But now let's talk about singleness. It's not just that marriage is harder, it's that singleness is better. So when we talk about singleness, again in verse 32, Paul says, I want you to be free from anxieties. The unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to please the Lord. In other words, he's got number one, he doesn't have two or three, he's got four. All he's got to worry about primarily is directly how to please the Lord, right? But the married man, how to please his wife. And his interests are divided. And the unmarried or betrothed woman is anxious about the things of the Lord, how to be holy in body and spirit. But the married woman is anxious, But the married woman is anxious about worldly things, how to please her husband. I say this for your own benefit, not to lay any restraint upon you, but to promote good order and to secure your undivided devotion to the Lord. If anyone believes, 35. So what he's saying is you actually can serve the Lord better single than you can married. And like, think about this. For me right now, I do have a girlfriend, but I'm still in God's eyes single. I'm not married. I have no commitment, right? If I wanted to, right now, I could quit both of my jobs, I could drop out of school, and I could break up with Joy, and I could fly off to the Middle East to be a missionary. If I wanted to do that, I could. There is nothing stopping me. There is no responsibility holding me down. If I so choose, that is an option. Another thing I could do, I could take all of my money, everything I own, sell it all, and give it to a church. If I wanted to do that, I could do that. I could do that tomorrow. If I wanted to, I could book every waking hour of my life where I'm either sleeping or I'm working or doing some sort of ministry or maybe I'm counseling people. Like, I can actually have it be that the only time I spend at home is the 8 hours I spend sleeping. If I want to schedule my life like that, I can do that because I'm single. But if I'm married, every single thing I just listed is profoundly sinful. I'm talking outright, clear, massive sin. Because if I'm married and there's a peer, like if I'm responsible to take care of my wife and kids, I can't just up and go to the Middle East where I'm going to die for being a Christian. I can't just leave them behind and abandon them. If you're married, the single most profound responsibility that God has given you is your... Yes?
Sorry, no, finish your
sentence. Is your spouse. Yes. Good question. So married missionaries are not necessarily sinning. Because if you have two people that they talk about it and they make the decision that they're going to go be missionaries, that's fantastic. That's fine. I'm specifically saying that if you have a guy who's got a wife and kids and he just decides, you know what, I'm going to fly to the Middle East, bye. You know what I mean? Like as a single guy, I can just drop everything and do that. But if you're a married guy, no. You've got a whole other person that you're partnering with that you're responsible for and who has a say in that and also has a vested interest in you not getting beheaded. So does that clarify it? Yeah. So that's the thing. All three of those things. If you're a married guy, you can't just give all of your money away because you have people to feed. It's one thing for you to decide that you're willing to go hungry. It's quite another to decide that your wife and kids are going to go hungry, right? So if you're married, you have a different priority. And if you're single, you don't. You can spend every waking hour doing something else. You can spend every waking hour involved in ministry. As a married person, you can't do that because you're responsible for the spiritual and physical well-being of your wife and kids or your husband and your kids. So it's a different set of priorities, right? And that's one of the advantages of being single. If you're single, you're not only free from the difficulties of marriage, but you have the opportunity to have greater service. You have more time to give, you have more money to give, and you have more freedom. And those three things open you up to a profound amount of opportunity that a married person doesn't have. Right? Does that all make sense? So, one more thing that's actually really important, because so far all that sounds pretty good, right? But there is a third thing. Singleness is for a purpose. It's not acceptable to just be single for a bad reason. Like, there are bad reasons that you've decided to be single. But before I get into those, I'm going to start with this. By a show of hands, who in this room would like to get married? Okay, that's a fair answer. So, me personally, I really, really wanted to get married from the time I was a junior hire. And personally, I am almost 22 years old, and about 21 years of my life have been spent single. So, I'm not even 22. I'm 21 years old, and roughly 21 years of my life have been spent single. Like, pretty interesting, right? I didn't want to be single. I really wanted to get married. I really wanted to be in a relationship. I thought I was going to turn 18, look at some girl down the hallway, and then within 2 weeks have a spouse, right? Like, that was little John, junior high John's idea of how things were going to go. And I got older, I got wiser, and I obviously didn't make that decision. But think about this. I didn't want to be single. And how often do you hear single Christians who want to get married but just don't have the opportunity yet, how often do they pray about singleness and they pray, God, please bring them sooner. Please bring me the person that you want me to marry sooner. Why aren't they here yet? And they pray that God would take away their singleness instead of praying that God would help them to use it well. Because as soon as you get married, the opportunities that you have as a single person are gone. So the time leading up to that, the time while you're still single, you still have the time, you still have the resources, you still have the freedom of a single person. And you should use those effectively, right? Like right now, the time that you guys spend in high school, a lot of times people think that high schoolers are like, how much can they really do? How much can they actually contribute to a church? And that is so wrong. As a young person, you have more free time than most adults do. And you have the opportunity to serve in ways that most adults can't. How many 70-year-old guys can help someone move a table or move a chair or move a mattress or something? But a young high school guy, they can help with that. How many full-time parents who also have jobs and have all kinds of things to be taken care of have the time to contribute to a regular weekly ministry? Some of them do, but a lot of times they don't. But high schoolers? Junior hires, you guys have that time. And that's something that I tried to do really hard when I was in junior high and high school, as I was pursuing those opportunities, and you guys should be too. You have the advantages of singleness. And until you're actually married, you should be thinking about how can I take advantage of this before it's gone? Because singleness has a purpose. The purpose of singleness is the service of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all things to the glory of God," right? Singleness is a unique opportunity, one that you should cherish, one that you should take advantage of, even if you still want to get married. Because even if you want to get married, there's going to be time that you spend single, and you should take advantage of it while you have it. So beyond that, singleness is for a purpose, right? There are bad reasons to get married. There are bad reasons to be single. There are bad reasons to get married too. But there are bad reasons to be single. For example, if you're single because you hate kids and you don't want a family to bog down your career, I promise I wrote that down before I started talking tonight. That is not in specific. I probably should have thought about that. Anyways, but if you're single because you hate kids and you don't want a family to bog down your career, that's a bad reason. God really likes kids. God loves kids. God made kids. We talked about Ephesians chapter 6 a few series ago and just how important family relationships are. God cares about kids, and there are few impacts that you can have on the world that is more profound than raising spiritually mature people. Like, that's actually a huge thing, by the way. I've got a buddy who does youth ministry up in Santa Clarita, and he and I were having a conversation about how he wanted to have an impact on students' lives so much, but he only sees them for 1 hour out of the week. And he wants to do so much, but we had a conversation, and what we were talking about was, you know, the people who have the most impact on those kids' lives is their parents. And as a parent, you have a more unique opportunity to minister to someone than anyone else in their life. You have more impact on them during the most important years of their life than anyone else. And being a good parent, there are few things that you can do that are more valuable than that. That's massive. So that is a bad reason to be single. Being single because you just don't want kids, it's a bad reason. Being single because you think that marriage is an evil and oppressive institution, that's a bad reason to be single. God made marriage. God made marriage as a gift. God thinks very highly of marriage. If you take an issue with the institution, you should probably talk to the person who instituted it. So that's Genesis chapter 2. We talked about that last week. Marriage is a good thing. Hating marriage and not wanting to take part of it, bad reason to be single. There's another really bad reason to be single that's actually really common. If you're single because you could never commit to just one person, that's a bad reason to be single. If you have that problem, Paul's advice would be to repent of your impurity, work on it, and marry someone. The kind of people that can't commit to just one person are the kind of person who need to commit to someone. If you can't control yourself, as Paul would say, for lack of self-control, get married. So there are reasons to be single, but those reasons are to serve God better. If someone doesn't want to get married, and there are a lot of reasons that people might not want to get married that are good reasons. But regardless of what your specific reason is, regardless of why you're single, either by choice or because you just don't have opportunity to be in a relationship, use the time well. Use your singleness well. Take advantage of it, because you're not going to have it forever, and it's better to learn a good way to spend your singleness while you're single and young than in 20 years to finally think to yourself, man, I wish I had used my singleness better. So the way that I've heard it said is this. 1 Corinthians 7 is a big deal. Singleness is genuinely better than marriage, but something that Paul says in verse 7, he says, "I wish all were as I myself am," he's single, "but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another." And what Paul says is this: there are people who want to get married, like myself. There are people who really want to get married. Those people should get married. People who don't have self-control, who actually just need that relationship to take advantage of the intimacy that's available in it, those people should get married. Anyone who wants to get married should. Anyone who doesn't want to get married, Paul says not only are they not second-class Christians, that's actually the better thing. Paul was not married, and that gave him massive advantages. He was able to be hungry. He was able to go on missionary journeys. And at the end of his life, when he was about to be beheaded for the gospel, Paul's like, I'm down for this. Not an exact quote, but he's basically like, I'm down for this. And if he were married, he might have thought differently about those things, right? So the natural state of a person is to be married. That's naturally what people want. That's naturally what people want to be involved in. And if you want to be married. That's fantastic. If you don't want to be married, don't. Be single. But be single for a reason. Be single for a good reason. And take advantage of it. And if you're single and you don't want to be, cherish the time that you've got. If God wants you to get married, he's going to bring someone into your life. And when that happens, it'll work out. In the meantime, use your singleness well. It's not something that God's forcing you to bear. It's actually an extraordinary opportunity that he's giving you. So, whether you've got the gift of marriage or the gift of singleness, take advantage. So with that, let's bow our heads, let's pray, and then we'll do small groups. Lord, thank you that you didn't make all of us the same. Thank you that you've given us each unique sets of desires and gifts and abilities. And to some people, you give the ability to be single. And to some people, you give the desire to be married. And I pray that you would help each group to not judge the other, but to celebrate each other. To recognize that each person has a different way that you want them to serve you. And each person has a different opportunity to serve you. And Lord, I pray that you would help each of us to think about what our specific opportunities are and how we can serve you in the circumstance you've put us, and how we can best serve you with the desires that you've given us. I pray that we wouldn't be single for bad reasons, but that we would be single for good reasons, and that we would have a high view of the opportunity that it brings with it. And I pray these things in the name of our King Jesus Christ. Amen.